You're listening to SBS News.
For those who get involved, Halloween celebrations haven't been fully marked in 3 years due to COVID-19 restrictions. A year ago, on the 30th of October 2021, Dr. Jeremy McAnulty from New South Wales Health issued this COVID-safe Halloween warning.
So if you and your family are planning to celebrate Halloween, please do so in a very COVID-safe way. Protect yourself and your people attending. Aim to keep celebrations outside. Provide closed packaging for treats instead of communal lolly bowls, and consider other ways of distributing treats, for example, along the front fence or hidden in the front yard.
But this year it's back to normal. Research by the Australian Retailers Association shows 5 million Australians will take part in some way, and the average amount spent on Halloween is $86 per person, which equates to around $430 million. A major boost for retailers. Those in the 35 to 49-year-old age range are the most likely to celebrate Halloween, with 1 in 5 Australians to hold or attend a party without children. Meanwhile, in the Philippines. Dozens of Filipino pet owners and their furry companions dressed up for an annual Halloween pet costume show in Manila. Some participants donned matching costumes with their pets, from iconic fairy tale characters to pop culture icons. Anna Cabrera is the spokesperson of the Philippine Animal Welfare Society and organizer of the event. She says the costume show not only helps strengthen the bonds between the owner and their animal, but also a chance to reconnect after years of lockdowns and promote the importance of appropriate upbringing for pets.
It's been 2 years since we held this event because of the pandemic. So naturally, people are excited to go out with their pets. And pets are part of the family after all, so they'd like to be able to bring their pets with them for Halloween stuff like trick-or-treating or parading in their best costumes. So I guess for that, the bonding moment that we offer for these events is priceless for pet owners.
And in the United Kingdom, a new art exhibition in London is highlighting the escapism of the horror genre and its power and reflection of the times we live through. The horror show at Somerset House charts how artists, musicians, and filmmakers have been inspired by the petrifying. The monstrous and the terrifying theme of this show explores how the horror genre has influenced British artists, musicians, TV and film from the 1970s to present day. More than 200 gruesome objects tell the story of politics, entertainment and creative rebellion through the decades. It's been co-curated by the BAFTA-nominated artistic duo Ian Forsyth and Jane Pollard.
We really want to show you how horror can be used as an incredibly sharp tool against injustice or inequality. And it's all in here. There's a kind of, you know, throughout the three sections of the exhibition, you see a kind of toolkit, a how-to guide of how to rise up and speak loud and make art that makes a difference.
Mr. Forsyth says horror may well be celebrated on Halloween traditionally, but it is a year-round favourite, with the public willingly terrifying themselves with movies and TV programmes.
I think horror gives you a way to step outside of the horrors of everyday life, the horrors that we're all facing every day, the horrors of the climate emergency, the horrors of the political crisis. What horror does is it gives you a safe space in which to experience the terror, the fear, all of those feelings, but in a safe space where you know, it's like when you go on the ghost train at the fairground. It's fun because you know at the end of it you're going to get off.
The exhibition is split into three sections. It opens with Monster, dedicated to the 1970s and 80s. It was a time of political turbulence and social division in the country, but also a time when rock musicians like the Banshees, David Bowie and Mark Almond redefined the British cultural identity. Ghost, which is the second section, marks the 1990s and early 2000s as a new digital age emerged. It includes gory severed heads used in a BBC television show, but also charts how the world headed towards the 2008 financial crisis. The final section is called Witch, showing the influence of horror on modern times. The curators noticed a shift in artists' focus.
So the final section in the show is called Witch, and Witch really emerges from the financial crash of the 2007-2008 and looked at the period from then up till now. And I guess the big difference you see at that point in the artists that we're looking at is that the interest in sort of party politics really dwindles. People are really not that interested in kicking against the establishment of the day. But what they're really interested in is the global situation and the environmental situation.
From visionary artists like Lee Bowery, who deliberately made himself look monstrous, to artists turning even the cutest kittens into something unsettling, the exhibition is a journey through the horror genre. Art critic Tabish Khan says its lessons on British history might even resonate with the current political situation.
What people love about horror is it's a genre that reflects the realities of our time in a fantastical setting. And this exhibition looks back to the 70s when there was a time of rising prices and rising energy costs, and we're very much in that same world today, so it feels very relevant as we see the transition of horror over time reflecting the times we live through.
In the United States, the historic Georgetown neighborhood in Washington, D.C. is one of the oldest in the century. It's the spot where George Washington purportedly made a plan to locate the nation's capital in Washington, and its brick-laid streets and stately homes have a legacy of America's history, and in some cases, rumors of ghosts from the past. Steeped in Georgetown lore, the managing editor of the Georgetowner newspaper, Christopher Jones, can recount stories of several popular stops along a tour of haunted Georgetown.
Now, we all say we don't believe in ghosts. I don't believe in ghosts. However, we would hesitate to move into a place in which someone was just murdered, right? And why is that?
So the tour begins with a colonial apartment building which was originally built in 1820, and just around the corner is the Laird Dunlop House, the former home of Robert Todd Lincoln, the oldest son of Abraham Lincoln. This was where he was living on the night his father was assassinated, not too far away at the Ford's Theatre. It would turn out that it was not the only assassination to touch his life. In 1881, Robert Lincoln witnessed the shooting of President Garfield in Washington, and in 1901, he was in Buffalo when President McKinley was shot. And just across the street is the former Georgetown home of Jackie Kennedy, purchased in the aftermath of President Kennedy's assassination.
And you have a lot of history here, from the Kennedys to the Lincolns, where tragic death seems to surround them, and it's all within a few blocks. So it makes sense that stories about death and haunting and spirits would be in this area.
There is also the tale of the famous Exorcist Steps of Georgetown, featured in the 1973 horror film The Exorcist, where a priest plummets to his death after performing the exorcist rite. The steps were made into a DC landmark in 2015.
And then those steps have a kind of creepiness to them, but even though tourists go all the time to take selfies there, it's still a little creepy for people. You see crew teams running up and down for exercise, but at night, late at night, you don't see people walking alone on those steps.
Halcyon House in Georgetown was built in 1787 and was home to the first Secretary of the Navy. It was reportedly the site of great parties and the center of Washington's social affairs. In 1900, the home was sold to a man named Albert Clemons, who claimed to be a nephew of Mark Twain. Amid the haunted houses in Georgetown these days, the Halloween spirit is kept alive by decorated homes and troves of costumed children donning their masks and costumes while trick-or-treating. Marcus Mengel-Okonomos, SBS News.